Good morning. Today's daf in Chagiga Chav Zayin, otherwise known as the final daf here in Masechta Chagiga, and the final daf in Seder Moed as well. We're starting the Mishnah Chavav Amud Beis at the very bottom. Ketzad Ma'avir Al Taharas Hazara. So, what are we going to do in terms of Taharas Hazara? Meaning, Yantiv is over on Yantiv. So there was a repeal of Tumah. I mean that, but I don't mean that. A repeal of Tumah. In other words, no Tumah is still out there. But Amaratzim, who generally speaking were assumed to be in a state of Tumah under almost all circumstances, and as we've been discussing now in this perek, have a limited amount of ne'emanus when it comes to Tumah Tahara, but generally speaking, are untrusted regarding Tumah Tahara because their level of observance was reduced. There's no nice way to say it. So the but on Yontif, however, so we are all chaverim, right? The Gemara had a pasuk. The Gemara darshan. We darshan the pasuk in yesterday's daf, speaking to this idea that in Yontif, so it's an asifa, it's an assembly, and we all get an elevated status and we all become chaverim over the course of Yontif. So, but nevertheless, Yontif is over, and you know, forgive me for saying this, but the party's over, and so now that Yontif is over, now everybody, you know, we all return back to our normal lives. So now the Azara is no longer in this elevated status. In fact, and I know this is really hard to conceptualize and hard for me to explain, but not only is the Azara back to its status of being, you know, quote-unquote, operating on a regular, on a normal playing field, but even as we look back on Yontif retroactively, so we can't ignore the fact that there were a bunch of Amaratzim in the Azara and touching everything. And this is just hard. It's a hard concept for me to wrap my head around, meaning on Yontif itself, everyone's a chaver. After Yontif is over, you know who was in the Azara over Yontif? Amaratzim were there. Okay, so on Yontif, we quote-unquote ignore it, and then after Yontif, we look back and we have to deal with the reality. Okay, so again, everyone can hear me struggle. It's a hard concept. It is. It just simply is. So after Yontif is over, so now with the pragmatic issue of we have to be Matar. Amaratzim running around back and forth in the base of Mikdash. And by the way, when I say Amaratzim, right, Kohanim are not spared from having Amaratzim. I'll show you Rashi in just a moment. There were Kohanim that were Amaratzim that were running around in the Azara as well. So cleanup. And when we say cleanup over here, we mean Tahara. So we have to be Matar everything after Yontif is over. So Ketzad. So that's our Mishnah. And let's see the Mishnah inside. Ketzad Ma'avir Naltar Azara. So how are we going to be Matar the Azara? Now, when we say the Azara, we're not talking about the actual physical courtyard itself. Obviously, that's real estate. Real estate is not subject to Tumah. Obviously, what we mean over here is the contents of the Azara, the Kalim in the Azara. So Matbil is the Kalim Shayu Ben Mikdash Varmem Lahem. So we're Matbil the Kalim, and we say to them, who are we talking to right now? Rashi writes, Kohanim Ame Haaretz. So Kohen Ame Haaretz now is in the Azara. Again, on Yontif, he has every right to do so. But we say to him the following. He's Haru, as we're now on the top of Chavavam and Beis, Shalotika B'Shochan. So do me a favor. We say to the Kohen Ame Haaretz, right, please help yourself, right, look around, touch everything you want, but don't touch the Shochan. Meaning, please keep your hands off the Shochan. Tosfos over here, really interesting. Tosfos over here writes, what are they doing in the Heichal? So they want to do Isha Chavaya. Okay, they want to bow in the Heichal. It's not a particular avoda per se. Okay, but still, in other words, there's something to be done in the Eichal. Fine. So anyway, so again, walk around, look around. Everything's good. Just don't touch a shochan. And why not? So stay tuned. Hold that thought. Kol hakem shayu ben mikdash yesh lashnim v'shlishim shem nitmu arishonim yavu shnim tachteihem. Okay, so we have for every kli in the base of Mikdash, we have a replacement, right? The backup. We have backup kelim for all the kelim because if a kli becomes tameh, so what do? So we have backups, seconds, thirds, and kol hakelim shayu b'mikdash shurim tvila. Every kli in the base of Mikdash requires a tvila. Chutz mi mizbech hazav, mizbech nechoshes, mi shem kekarka divrei Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar says that the mizbechos are notable exceptions, not subject to tumah. And the reason why they're not subject to Tumah is because they are karka. Karka is grounded. Grounded and therefore not going to be mekabel Tumah. Now the Chachamim say because it's plated, hold the thought of the Chachamim at the end of the sugya, at the end of the daf today, we're going to wrap our heads around a lot better. What is the sheet of the Chachamim? What are they saying? So hold the thought of the Chachamim for just a moment. In the meantime, however, so in our Mishnah, so we're talking about cleanup after Yantav and being Matayr all the Kalim. Now, what do we plead with the Amei Haaretz? Go into the Heichal, please, but also please don't touch the Shulchan. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. The Gemara quotes a Braisa Tana, Hizara Shalotiko B'Shulchan Uve Menorah. So don't touch the Shulchan and don't touch the Menorah as well. That's the Braisa. So, in our Mishnah, the instructions to the Amei Haaretz are don't touch the Shulchan. In the Braisa, don't touch Shulchan and Menorah. Now, what clearly is the issue over here is the following. You touch the Shulchan, right? This is our Mishnah. I should have said this back in the Mishnah. You touch the Shulchan, what's the problem? Problem is, you're going to be metameh it, and what are we going to do? We're going to tovel the Shulchan? Okay, it's going to be problematic. So in the Braisa, same instructions, but we include Shulchan and Menorah. Okay, so there are a couple of basic questions which the Gemara now is going to deal with. And that is, Shulchan can become tameh? And Menorah can become tameh, meaning it's just very basic issues of what is susceptible to tumah. The Gemara starts off the discussion. V'tani dida my time lo tani Menorah. So as far as our Tana is concerned, so our Tana clearly did not include the Menorah as part of instructions to the Kohen Amar. It's, hey, don't touch. So why not? So Shulchan k'siv beitamid. Menorah lo k'siv beitamid. So as far as the Shulchan is concerned, so the Shulchan, it has the word tamid. But when it comes to the menorah, it does not have the word tamid. And therefore what? So therefore, as it relates to the Shulchan, so the Shulchan has to be there at all times. Meaning, if you touch the Shulchan, so now you're going to require us to pick up the Shulchan and tovel the mikvah, which in of itself is going to be challenging, but it is somewhat doable. But the problem is that the Torah gives very clear instructions. The Shulchan has to be in its place at all times. And what are you going to do now? You're going to force us to move the Shulchan, and that will be a violation of tamid. But when it comes to the menorah, where the Torah doesn't use the word tamid by menorah, so there, if you touch the menorah, okay. So what are we going to do? We'll pick up the menorah. We'll tovel the mikvah. I know I'm saying it like it's no big deal. It is a big deal, but it's doable. Okay. So that's the difference between Shulchan and menorah. Hopefully you're all wondering. It doesn't say the word tamid by menorah. It does say the word tamid by menorah. So Rashi over here writes that the word tamid by menorah is not the same tamid as it is by Shulchan. Right? There is consistent and there's constant. Right, that's, and tamid can mean both, or it can mean either, I should say. So by the Shulchan, when it says Lefanai Shulchan Tamid, so there, tamid over there means it has to be constant. Shulchan has to be there all the time. When it says tamid by the menorah, it just simply means consistent. What is consistent about the menorah? You have to light it every night. Rashi says it's similar to that of the carbon tamid, right? The carbon tamid. We're offering the carbon tamid constantly? No. Consistently, every morning, every afternoon. Rashi says, same thing with the menorah. You light it every night. So the tamid of the menorah is not the same as the tamid of the Shulchan. So says Rashi in explanation of our Gemara. Now, v'idach, okay, so, where are we right now? We understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, where we tell the Amarites, don't touch the Shulchan, why not? Because if you touch it, it's metame it. So what's the problem? So tovel it. No, because by the Shulchan, it has to be tamid. But by the menorah, so if he touches it, if they touch the menorah, okay, so we'll tovel it. There's no requirement of the menorah being there all the time. It just has to be there so that we can light it every night. By the way, when do we light the menorah? So Rashi throughout Shas says that we light it over the course of the night. And Rashi, for good reason, Rashi says that because that's more or less what the Gemara sounds like when it describes the menorah and the mitzvah to require it. And, oh, by the way, that's pretty much what the Torah sounds like in terms of the instructions. There is a Rambam that's discussed often. The Rambam's of the position that we light it overnight and we light it during the day as well. Okay. Obviously, the Rambam over here is going to have to give a different pshat in our Gemara over that of Rashi. I know there we can go deeper into the Gemara over here. We're going to go on. V'idach.
Why is the Shulchan considered a kli? It has no tov.
Wait. Okay, your question's good. The Gemara is going to let the Gemara unfold. So v'idach kevin dechziv es menoros nochach ha-shulchan k'man dechziv beitamidami. So now, as far as the Braisa is concerned, so equating the shulchan the menorah, so yeah, take a look at the psukim in Parshas Truma, where the Torah there says, es menorah nochach ha-shulchan. So the menorah is opposite the shulchan. So what is it telling me? It's like a hekesh. So whatever the status is regarding the shulchan, i.e. tamid, it has to be in its spot all the time. Same thing with the menorah. V'idach. Our Mishnah, what's the counter argument? Nah, that's just telling me where it needs to be. But it doesn't inform me in terms of this halacha of tamid. Okay. V'tepukli dekliyetz asu l'nachasu. Okay, so now the Gemara, after having a discussion, debate between the Mishnah and the Braisa, now the Gemara is going to go over some very basic information. Notably, this idea that the Shulchan and the Menorah are something, well, let's focus more on the Shulchan. The Shulchan is even susceptible to becoming Tamei. Is that right? And that's what the Gemara now wants to understand. V'tepukli dekliyetz asu l'nachasu. Well, the Shulchan is made out of wood. Now it's plated, and we're going to get to the plating in just a moment, but it's made out of wood. And on top of that, what do we plan on doing with it? Nothing. In other words, we plan on leaving it there. We're not going to move it. So this is what's called a kli eitz ha'asui l'nachas. It's a kli made out of wood, but we have with no intentions of moving it. Right? A big chest. Or an arun for that matter. So what's the halacha regarding kli eitz ha'asui l'nachasu? Chol kli eitz ha'asui l'nachas lo metamei. So the halacha is that's not susceptible to tumah. My taima, dom yidasak bi'inan. Masak mitaltel malavirekam, afkol mitaltel malavirekam. Because we know that as far as anything made out of wood, so it's got to have the same requirements of that of a sock. When the Torah describes a kli that is going to be makabel tuma, the Torah says it has to be transportable both when it's empty and when it's full. That's the nature of a sock. A sock is makabel tuma, and anything else, well, I say anything else, I don't mean anything else. In just a moment, we're going to highlight an exception. But other kelim as well have to follow this model where it can be transported when it's male or rekan. If, on the other hand, I have no plans of transporting it, meaning I'm making it and its position is to be here and nowhere else, so then, by definition, it's just simply not going to be makabel tumah. Meaning it's a kli, but not a kli eligible to tumah because it has to be dumi desak. So this table over here, if we're leaving it right over here, so therefore it shouldn't be makabel tumah. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you're wrong about the assertion. You thought that the Shulchan has never moved. That's not right. The Shulchan is moved. Kid de Reish Lakish. So we get to hear this a couple of times throughout Shas. We heard this back in Yuma. We're saying it again over here in Chagiga. The Pasuk al Shulchan HaTahor. So it says in Parshas Emor that you're putting the bread on the Shulchan HaTahor. So mechlal shu tamei, and so the diuk is very simple. It's a diuk in the pasuk in the Torah, and that is that it could become tamei. And why should that be? Isn't it going to be there? And isn't it planning on being just simply situated in one location? So the Gemara says no. Ve'ena makabel tumah elam alam mishemagbi and also amarin bo la ole regalim lechem apanim va'omrim lahu va'omrim lahem reuchi baschem lifnei amakum siluko kisiduro. So here is what we're required to do, on Yontif. So the Kohanim take the Shulchan and present it to the masses and show the masses. You see the Lechem upon him on the Shulchan? Now, exactly where they're taking it, so I'm not sure. In other words, here I don't have clarity. It sounds like they're taking the Shulchan out of the Heichal. Sounds that way. How far out of the Heichal? I could guess. I simply don't know. I don't know. Just in other words, but it's on display. The point is that the Shulchan is going to be on display, and in order to display it, it's going to be moved from its location. And what do we want to show everybody? The Lechem Apanim. Lechem Apanim on the Shulchan. So what is it? It's fresh. Now, it's interesting, by the way, because Rashi and Tosfos disagree over here in terms of what we're showing off. Either that it's hot, that's Rashi, or according to Tosfos over here, that's fresh, it's soft. Okay, but whatever the case is, obviously, whichever one it is, it's miraculous. That Lechem Apanim has been sitting on the Shulchan for over a week. Generally speaking, bread that has been, you know, baked bread. I know the Lechem Apanim is matzah, right? We discussed this already back in Menachos extensively, right? All the Menachos are matzah, with a couple notable exceptions. But the Lechem Apanim is bread. I'm using the term bread here loosely. And you know that you leave bread out for a while, and it's not going to be hot, and it's not going to be fresh. Okay, but the Lechem Apanim is going to be hot and it's going to be fresh. Good, so that's an ace. And we show it off to the people and how much the Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us. I'm Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Neis Gadol, Naaseh Lechem Apanim, Kisiduro, Kach Siluko. Shenema Lasom Lechem Chom, Biyom Hilachol. So what happens is that you take the bread off and it's chom. Right, sounds like Rashi. And it's hot even on the day in which you take it off, which is well over a week after it was baked. So, the table's moved. So the assertion that the table's not moved, so simply not true. Table's moved. Okay, so now that the table is moved, so now it's no longer something which is stationary. It is now mitaltel. It's going to be moved. Okay, so that's why it's susceptible to tuma. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you. But the Shulchan is in fact going to be mekabel tuma. The Gemara now is going to be challenging based on another front. Meaning, the truth of the matter is that we settled the question. The question is Shulchan's mekabel tuma. And right now the Gemara's answer is yes, Shulchan's mekabel tuma. Why? Because it's not stationary. What the Gemara just wants to know now, this is a basic discussion within the worlds of Tumah Tahara, even if it were stationary. It's not. But even if it were stationary, shouldn't it still also be mekabel tuma? Why? Because it's not wood. Meaning it's wood, but it's plated with metal. In this case, it's plated with gold. And isn't something plated with gold going to be considered gold? And as Rashi points out over here, if we're going to categorize it under the category of gold, so then even a gold kli hasul anachas is in fact going to be mekabel tuma. Now I know earlier in today's daf we said that a kli that is hasul anachas, a kli that's stationary, is not mekabel tuma, but that's only by eights, something made out of wood. But if something is made out of metal, so that it doesn't follow this rule, even stationary metal kalim are in fact susceptible to tuma. So let's put everything together. We have a shulchan which is made out of wood, but it's plated with gold. And since it's plated with gold, so shouldn't we therefore say that even if it were stationary, it's mekabel tuma? So datnan, and the Gemara says, and consider the following Mishnah: Hashulchan va'adul paki shenifchasu o shechipan b'shayv v'shayv behem makom anachas kosos. Stamei, Rav Yehuda Omer makom anachas hachatichos. So if I have a table or some other piece of furniture, and what I did is that we plated it. Now you plated it over here with shayish. Shayish is marble. So basically, it's a stone plating. Okay, I'm not in construction. Okay, but let's just assume that this is possible, so that you could take something and plate it with stone. Now, what do we know regarding stone? Stone is eino mekabel tuma. So what we're learning over here is the following, and that is that if it were fully plated, so then the plating is going to give it its designation. It is now a stone. It's now a stone kli, and therefore not going to be mekabel tuma. Now, it happens to be the Mishnah over here is slightly more detailed because the Mishnah says if it's not fully plated and there's still some of the wood that's exposed, a question of how much wood is exposed, enough for the cup, enough for the pieces of food. In other words, if it's not fully plated, I'm going to say the Mishnah is simple. If it's not fully plated, so then it's not going to have the status of the plating. But if it is fully plated, so now it's going to have the status of the plating. That's the Mishnah in Kalim. So now bring that all back over here. I have a shulchan, it's plated with gold. So what's the halacha? Halacha is that it should be treated like gold. So So the Gemara says, and maybe you'll make a distinction between what we're plating. Meaning, not all woods are the same. In fact, we know that the wood that's used for the shochan is atzei shitim. Now, atzei shitim is a higher quality wood. And maybe the plating of atzei shitim is going to make a difference. The Gemara says, you know, that may be true, subject to a debate. Hanich l'reish lakish damar lo shanu ala b'kli ach sal gis. Okay, so Reish Lakish makes a distinction between the types of wood. And I'm not going to attempt to define what kinds of woods we're talking about over here, but I get the basic idea of the Gemara. And that is that there's lower quality wood and higher quality wood. If I'm plating lower quality wood, so then I'm according to Reish Lakish, yeah, so then the plating is going to be what its definition is. But if I'm plating higher quality wood, the kli is still wood. So according to Reish Lakish, I can hear such a distinction. But Ella Rav Yochanan Damar Afilu Bekli Misamim Nami Batle Michael Amemar. But according to Sheets of Rav Yochanan, it doesn't matter what you're plating. Whether you're plating a lower or higher quality wood, the plating is going to define the item. Furthermore, Vichite Makan Betzipo Yamei Kan Betzipo Sheino Omeid. Maybe you'll tell me there are different types of platings. Platings that where the plating is hammered in and now really becomes an integral part of the Kli, and plating where it's not hammered in. Maybe you'll tell me there's such a distinction to be made. The Gemara says, yeah, but I'm going to reject that. So, habay minei Reish Lakish mei Rav Yochanan b'tzipo yomid or b'tzipo shein omid b'chofa es levazvaz or b'sheinu chofa es levazvaz. Reish Lakish is wondering with Rav Yochanan. Maybe it makes a difference whether the plating has been nailed in or maybe not. Maybe it makes a difference whether the plating is going to be covering the edges or not. V'amar le, Rav Yochanan emphatically answers Reish Lakish. It simply does not matter whether the plating was nailed in or not. does not matter whether the edges were covered or not. So, the plating is going to define the item according to Rav Yochanan. Period. Period. So that means now that the Shulchan, how are we viewing the Shulchan according to Rav Yochanan? It's not wood. It's gold. If it's gold, so now it's Mekabel Tumah. And so we've established already at the beginning of the sugya the Shulchan is Mekabel Tumah because it's not stationary. But even if it were stationary, shouldn't it be Mekabel Tumah because it's gold? That's the Gemara's question, right? It took a while for the Gemara to unfold this question, but that's Gemara's question. So it's gold and therefore it should be Mekabel Tumah even if it's stationary. So Ela Shani Shulchan, so the Gemara says, yeah, you know what? The Shulchan's different. As we're on the topic of Chazayim Amad Aleph, Derechmana Karya Eitz. So the Torah describes it as eitz. Torah describes it as wood. Dichtiv Hamizbech Eitz Shalosh Amos Gavav Arko Shtaim Amos Umiksa Osav Lo VeArcho VeKirosav Eitz VaYidaber Lai Ze Hashulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. Okay, so it's in Derechmana Karya. The Torah calls it, and then the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yecheskel. Okay, but Yecheskel obviously part and parcel of Tanakh. And the idea here is that despite the fact of its plating, the Navi describes it as being wood. So the Navi describes it as being eitz. So you're right. Meaning that the general rule is that anything is plated. And according to Rav Yochanan, there really are no distinctions to be made within the type of plating, how fastened the plating is, whether the plating is covering the edges. According to Rav Yochanan, no distinction. If it's plated, it's gold or it's metal, whatever the plating may be. And if it's plated with stone, so then the item is stone, as we learned in the Mishnah and Kalim. All that's true. But the Shulchan is the exception. Why? Because the Pasuk in Yecheskel. The Pasuk in Yecheskel says that even though it's plated, it still is going to be defined as wood. Okay, so Yotzei Min HaKlal based on the Pasuk. Okay, it's one of those real brain teasers where the Pasuk is giving you the rule or the Pasuk is giving you the exception. The Gemara's understanding over here is very clear. Pasuk's giving us the exception, not the rule. Okay. And then, of course, right, it takes knowledge to know when it's the exception and when it's the rule. Okay. But we have the Gemara, so we're being guided. So, Pasuk b'mizbech v'sayim v'shochan. Now, as long as we quote the Pasuk in Yecheskel, so the Gemara now notes, did you follow the Pasuk carefully? Ha-mizbech eitz shalosh amos. It starts by describing the mizbech. And then, at the end, Zeh Shulchan. So the Pasuk in Yecheskel seamlessly transitioned from Mizbeach to Shulchan. Why did it do that? So Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish Amir Tavayu Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kai Mizbeach Mechaper Al Adam. So when there was the Beis HaMikdash, so there is a kapar that's being provided. It's called the Mizbeach. We offer karbonis on the Mizbeach. And that's going to be providing our kapara. But nowadays, well, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but Achshav Shulchan Shal Adam Mechaper Alav. So what is providing the kapara? So the Shulchan's providing the kapara. What do you mean? Which table? And that would, of course, be our dining room table. Our dining room table provides a kapara. So what are we doing on our dining room table? So the Rashi writes over here, Hachnasas Orochim. So in other words, when we invite guests into our house and we host people and we're doing acts of chesed, so that's a kapara. That's Rashi over here. Tosfos quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Similar idea. Adkan. That takes us to the end of our first sugya today, right? Our first sugya, which by far and away is our longest sugya of today's daf, and it's really simple and really straightforward. So the instructions to the Kohen Ha'aretz and Yantav is good. Go into the Heichal, good. You want to do Ishtachavai in the Heichal, also good. Don't touch the Shulchan. Why? Because they're going to be metame the Shulchan. So and the problem is that if they're metame the Shulchan, so we could tova the Shulchan, but by the Shulchan, the Torah's instructions are very clear. It has to be lefanai tamid. The Shulchan has to be in the same place at all times, constantly, as opposed to the menorah, where there it just has to be consistently there, but the Shulchan has to be there constantly. Okay? And so that's the problem. And then we quoted the Brisa. The Brisa says that the instructions are also don't touch the menorah as well. Okay? And the debate between the Mishnah and the Brisa and the Gemara, and the Gemara hashes it out. But really, the first sugya of today's daf dealt with a really simple question, which is, the Shulchan's mekabel tumah? Now, the answer is emphatically yes. It's just a question of how to get to that yes. So but truth of the matter is, even after the entire sugya, there really is one, there's one correct answer in terms of why the Shulchan's mekabel tumah, because it's mital tel male v'rekan. You move the Shulchan. When are you moving the Shulchan? On Yontif. So there is a time-honored tradition, right? I'm not sure whether to call it a mitzvah, but maybe yes. I'm just thinking out loud right now. Maybe the mitzvah is pirsa manes. Okay, right? I say that as we are about to read the Megillah a week from today, a little bit more. Anyway, so maybe the mitzvah is pierced on Manes, but anyway, the Shulchan is moved, and since it's moved, it's mitzal tama levereikan. Therefore, it's makabel tama. The Gemara did at least for a little bit of time. Suggests maybe that the plating has something to do with its status of Tumat Tahara, but ultimately, no. In the case of the Shulchan, no. Plating is not going to affect its status of Tumat Tahara. What is going to affect its status of Tumat Tahara is the fact that it's actually moved. Okay, Ad Kan. Next sugya, and final sugya. Second to final. Yeah.
Why aren't you worried about
the Kiyur? So maybe the Mishnah, again, it's just me thinking out loud, maybe the Mishnah is only focusing on the kelim in the Heichal proper. Kiyur was in the courtyard. Yeah. The point's well taken. Okay.
I would say, since the Kiyur is metayer you, the Kohen,
then
it cannot become Tumah.
Okay, could be. I don't know if that's true, but it could be. I don't know. Lechem panim neis. Excellent question. There's a list of the I forgot where the Gemara is. Okay, but there is a list of Nisim that do not continue and perpetuate in the second base of Mikdash, and I do not remember if this is part of the list. Okay, but there are a number of things that did not continue through second base. Next sugya. Mechaper alav. Sorry. No, end. Kol ha-kelim shebe mikdash yesh lahem shneim. Okay, so seconds and thirds. So we have backups. So mizbech and nechoshes dechziv. Now, how do I know? We have backup mizbechs? Now, the answer is yes. I know that's funny. Where is it stored? Okay. So I don't know, but they're backup mizbechs. Can you cite me a source that would prove that? That's what the Gemara is about to do. So dechziv mizbech adamat ha-sali. So the Gemara here is quoting one of the last psukim in Parshas Yisro. Which, by the way, in of itself is not an indication that there's a backup mizbech. Hold that thought. So mizbech hazav dechsev ha-menorah v'ha-mizbechos. So it says the menorah and the mizbechos. Ah, that's it. I mean, that's plural. So itkish mizbechos zelazeh. So that means to say that all the mizbechs are in the plural. Meaning, how can there be multiple mizbechs? Aren't there only one mizbech outside? There was one mizbech inside. And the answer is that, yeah, that's true. But there's also backups as well. Okay, good. All right, so the Gemara just cited a source that tells us that there are multiple mizbechos, backups.
No, it means mizbechos because you have two of them.
I hear you, but the Gemara is saying that this is a makor for the fact that there are multiple mizbechs even for each one individually. I hear what you're saying. Okay, and finally. Now we go back to the Mishnah, and we're going to be understanding that last line of the Mishnah, where, according to Rabbi Lazar, so the Mizbech is not Mekabel Tumah. Why not? It's karka. It's grounded. And the Chachamim say it's plated. Now, what are the Chachamim say to Rabbi Lazar? Meaning, we know what the words are, but what is the argument? And the Gemara here is really bothered. Adarabba, kevin de mitzupim, ninu mitame. So, if anything, what is the argument going to lead us to? A totally different conclusion. And that is that if they're plated, remember what we learned just minutes earlier in today's daf? So the plating is going to define the item. Again, Shulchan notable exception because of the Pasuk in Yecheskel, but meanwhile, the plating is going to define the item. If the item is plated, so therefore the plating is going to be its definition. So the Mizbech now is plated, the Chachamim say to Rabbi Lazar, so you know what that means? It is Mekabel Tumah. Which when you read the Mishnah, that's not the impression you're getting with the Chachamim. Meaning the Chachamim are not arguing with the conclusion, they're arguing with the Svara. Rav Elazar says it's grounded, that's why it's not Mekabel Tumah. And the Chachamim are saying, this is the tone of the Mishnah. And the Chachamim are saying, no, it's not Tame because it's plated. And now as the Gemara is hearing that, the Gemara is saying, wait one second. You're not only arguing with the Svara, you're arguing with the conclusion. Meaning the Chachamim should be saying, and therefore, it's mekabel tumah. So ema the chachamim mitamim neshem mitzupim. Okay. So the first response of the Gemara is you're right, exactly. So what the chachamim are arguing with is with both the svara and the conclusion. So the svara is it's plated, therefore it's mitame. That's how you're supposed to understand the Chachamim. Even though as you read the Mishnah, you don't hear that in the Mishnah, but the first approach of the Gemara is that's what the Mishnah meant. And the other possibility is that the Chachamim are saying to Rabbi Lazar, "My daitech mishum de mitzupin." So another way to understand the Mishnah is that the Chachamim are saying to Rabbi Lazar, "Oh, you're saying it's grounded. Oh, I know what you're trying to avoid. You're avoiding the problem is that it, because it's plated." Meaning the Chachamim are saying to Rabbi Lazar, "So mibato bato tzipuyan gabayo." Nah, the plating over there is not significant. Meaning that the Mizbeach, just like we quoted the Pasuk in Yechezkel earlier this morning, talking about the Shulchan being an exception, the same thing is true regarding the Mizbeach as well. The Mizbeach, another exception, in that despite the fact that it's plated with metal, in this case gold, nevertheless, it's going to be, its base definition is going to be wood, an exception. Okay. And so that's another way to understand the Chachamim in terms of what how they're responding to Rebbe Lazar.
Compares the Mizbeach to a mikveh.
Okay.
So a mikveh cannot become tumah.
Yeah, but
so how can the Mizbeach become tumah?
Okay, the comparison, it might be a comparison, but it's not a mikveh. You can't tov on the Mizbeach.
Yeah, it is metayah people.
Okay, we could discuss it later, but it's not going to, whatever. It's not to be taken literally. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Elazar, Tamach Chachamin, Or Shogenim, Sholotis Behem. Okay, so we talked about plating. And so the Gemara is going to launch into a little bit of Agada to conclude the Masechta. So Talmid HaChachamim are not going to be affected by Or Shel Gehenim because Kavachomim is Salamandra. We're going to learn it through a deduction from the Salamander. Ma Salamandra Shetolada Seishi. So the Gemara is describing a creature over here. Okay, do not look to me to try to identify the creature. I'll just simply say the Gemara over. I'll say the Rashi over. And that is, it's a creature born out of fire. Rashi over here, really specific. Rashi says it was an uninterrupted fire. 7 years of uninterrupted fire and born from that fire is this creature, the salamandra. Hasach midama ein or sholetes bo. And what you do is now you take the blood of the salamander and what you do is that you put it on your skin and what it's going to do is it's going to retard fire. It'll be a great layer of protection from the fire. So that is basically something born from the fire is going to be able to block the fire. So Talmid Chacham Shekol Gufanesh. Now, when it comes to Talmid Chacham, so their entire body is fire. Dichsev Ala Kod Devari Keish Namashem. So the words of Akash Baruch Hu Keish, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, and the Talmid Chacham obviously infused with Dvar Hashem, meaning Torah, and so therefore Eish, his entire body is Eish. Al Achas Kama Vechama. So how much more so now that we are going to be blocked and prevented from the Or Shel Gehenim? Reish Lakish adds, and Reish Lakish says, not only are we talking about Talmid HaChachamim, we're even talking about Poshe Yisrael. So, Kal V'chomer mi Mizbech HaZahav. And over here, what's going to be our model to tell me that even Poshe Yisrael are going to not be affected by Or Shel Gehenim? So, the Mizbech, Ma Mizbech HaZahav Shein Alav, Elakove Dinar, Zahav. So, as far as the plating of the Mizbech is concerned, really thin plating of the Mizbech. And meanwhile, we're burning fire on the Mizbech all the time. So, Kama Shanim Ina Or Sholetes Bo. And for year after year, and meanwhile, it's not going to affect it. Okay? La Havdil. My grill at home. Right? I'm okay. I struggle with my grill at home. Okay? Okay. Anyway, but it doesn't last that long. So meanwhile, the Mizbeach Zahav over here is going to be, it's totally fireproof. So, Poshe Yisrael Shemalei Mitzvos Kerimon Dechsev Kafelach HaRimon Rakasech. And meanwhile, Poshe Yisrael, they're doing mitzvos, meaning they may not be fluent in Torah, and they may not be able to discuss, but meanwhile, they do mitzvos, right? Kerimon, like a pomegranate. The Gemara here quotes the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And Al Tikrei Rakasech Ela Reikanim Shebech. Shabach al achas kama v'chama, and meanwhile, so they can't be viewed any less than that of the thin layer protection for the mizbeach. If the thin layer protection mizbeach is going to be megan on the mizbeach, and it's not going to be affected, so too the mitzvahs are going to be protecting even those people who are quote unquote poshe Yisrael, but at least have some mitzvahs of what to speak about. Hajon lachomer bekodesh l'slicha masecha chagiga, and so ends our masechta. And so concludes also Seder Moed. Okay, let's quickly recap our daf today. No. I gotta go to work. So the sorry. It is a special moment, but I'm gonna go. But the but meanwhile, let's just quickly recap. We learned this morning the cleanup after Yontif. Despite the fact that over Yontif, so there is a not just a relaxation, right? Tumah is basically lifted. Amaratzim. Everyone is invited, entered. Go in, right? Go into the Azara. Go into the Heichal. But afterwards, we're going to do a cleanup, and we're going to be mitar everything after Yontif. Okay. And I'm just recognizing it's a really hard concept. I don't fully understand it, but that's the halacha could not be any clearer. Okay. Over Yontif, everyone's tahor. After Yontif, you know who was here? Okay. Anyway, so and as far as the cleanup is concerned, so a couple of details. Number one is that we beg and plead the Amei Aretz to go into the Heichal. Kohanim Amei Aretz, says Rashi, is that, look, go in there, do your Hishtachavaya, don't touch the Shochan. Okay. And finally, the last point of the Mishnah is that everything is susceptible to Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash, including the Shochan, including the Menorah. Notable exception is going to be the Mizbech. Mizbech is not going to be Mekabel Tumah. And why? So that's a machlokus in the Mishnah. According to Rav Elazar, because it's grounded, and the Chachamim comment, not really clear what exactly the comment of the Chachamim were. In terms of today's sugyas, so the biggest sugya that we had today is that the Shochan is in fact Mekabel Tumah. It is susceptible to Tumah. So why should it be? So lengthy discussion, but to make it shorter and just to summarize, it's because it is mitaltel. It's going to be lifted. It's going to be demonstrated to the people. Every Yontif, Shochan is picked up, demonstrated to the people. Persume Hanes, the bread on it is still hot. According to Tosus, it's still soft. Either way, and so it is moved, and therefore it's going to be Mekabel Tumah. Okay. And by the way, just I'm thinking out loud. I'm just curious. Meaning the Gemara at the beginning of the sugya says, you know what the problem with the Shochan is? It has to be consistently there, meaning there's a requirement of tamid. And meanwhile, in the same sugya, the Gemara also said, oh no, by the way, we lift it and we show it to the people. Okay, so, and how is that not a violation of tamid? I just thought, I don't have a great answer. Anyway, that was sugya number one. Sugya number two of the Gemara today is that the platings. Platings are the Mishnah and Kalim says that when you plate an item, so the item is going to take on its definition of its plating. So you plate it with stone, it becomes impervious to Tumah. You plate it with gold, it now becomes susceptible to Tumah. The Shochan's plated with gold, and the Mizbech is plated with gold, and the Gemara's response is, you're right, but there are exceptions. Why? Pasuk in Yecheskel. And then, on Chav Zainam and Aleph, so a number of Joshua's that we quoted. One is that the Pasuk in Yecheskel is describing the Mizbech and the Shochan in the same breath. Why should that be? Bizman Beis HaMikdash, Mizbech is Mechaper. Bizmanenu, our Shochan's Mechaper through Achnasas Urchem. That was one drasha. Another drasha of today's daf, of Chav Zainam and Aleph. Oh, the Gemara also spent a little bit of time going over what exactly the Chachamim's response was to Rabbi Lazar, how to understand the Chachamim. Two possibilities. One is that the Chachamim are in fact disagreeing with the conclusion, because it's plated, therefore it is going to be Mekabel Tumah. That's one possibility. Or a second possibility is that what the Chachamim are saying to Rebbe Lazar is, ignore, in other words, they were responding to Rebbe Lazar, ignore the plating. Meaning, despite the fact that it was plated, it's still eights based on the Pasuk in Yecheskel. And then finally, the last rashas is, of today's daf, is the protection that's afforded to both Tamid Chachamim and even those who are not Tamid Chachamim. So Tamid Chachamim are protected by their Torah, right? Ko devari ke'esh ne'um Hashem. So, and even the Poshe Yisrael, but they're protected by their mitzvos. Atan.